Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 18. We'll read verses 1 through 4 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Exodus chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. Exodus chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. When Jethro the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father, said he, was mine help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. I'll read two other verses to you. You need not turn there, but Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us today. Thank you for your presence being here. Thank you for our church. Thank you for giving us a holy word of God that was given word for word by you to us so that we could live and survive. Lord, we owe you the right to listen to the preaching of the word of God. Father, please, may our hearts, may our minds be fully focused on the preaching. Fill our preacher with your power as he preaches. Fill our hearts with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Wasn't long ago, I had what I might call, or maybe we would all call, I had a long night. I'd been out visiting, got into my home late in the evening. In the night, my phone rang two or three times. Basically, each time it would ring, I would answer it, and someone was facing a heartache or a burden. I'd try to get back to sleep, and my phone rang again. By morning time, I was in a bit of a fog, if you might say, maybe an hour or two of sleep. Often in the mornings, I wake up quite early, and when I do, I go to my Bible and I begin to study. I'm always in search for truth to help our church. On this morning, I was not running to the Bible in search for truth. I was running to the Bible in search for strength. I opened my Bible. I flipped it open to the Psalms. That's where I often run when I need strength. My Bible fell open to Psalm 121, where the Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I read that passage. I've prepared for my day. I live out in Jaredstown. Actually, it started out, it was a Glengarry address. Now it's Jaredstown, the Back Creek Valley there. As I prepared for the morning, I was still in a bit of a stupor. My mind was not clear. My heart, if you will, was a bit foggy. And anybody that's been out in the Back Creek Valley knows the clouds can kind of settle. It's kind of dark back in there. It's a little cool in the valley, and it was foggy. I got in my car. I began to drive. I went up over a one-lane steel bridge that leads back to my house and was going along Back Creek. Then I started up the mountain. As I started up the mountain, there was fog, and it was dark, and it was gloomy. I got to looking up at the top of the mountain, and finally I reached the peak, and within about 15 yards of the peak, the sun broke through. And I realized what the Lord was saying. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. That sun broke through. I said, Lord, boy, I needed that sunshine this morning. It's been dark in the valley. It's been lonely. It's been a little thick. When I just sat there on top of the mountain and I basked in the sunshine of God, I just sat there and enjoyed that sunshine, and I thought, you know, that sunshine's been there all along. I've just been down in the valley. I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it because I was in that valley. I began to think about that. And then I read another passage of Scripture. We read it earlier from Exodus chapter number 18, where the Bible says, "In the name of the other was Eliezer. For the God of my father, said he, was mine help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh." This passage of Scripture that I just read to you, or the one verse, this is a passage of Scripture that refers to Jethro. He was a priest. He was Moses' father-in-law. This is not Jethro Bodine from the Beverly Hillbillies, for you Bible scholars. Jethro, at this time, take Moses' two sons and his wife, and Jethro goes to meet Moses. Moses' wife's name was Zipporah. Moses' two sons were Gershom and Eliezer. Now, in verse number 8, in chapter 18, verse number 1, I want you to listen to this. The Bible says, "When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt," here's what happened. Jethro is going to, he's noticing everything that God had done for Moses. Boy, and God had done a lot for Moses. The Bible says here that Jethro noticed how much God had helped Moses. Jethro was a bit amazed at how much help Moses had received from God. And then when you get to verse number 4, it says this, "And the name of the other was Eliezer. For the God of my father, said he, was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh." Notice this. Unless you really wanted to look for it, you wouldn't find this. See, Jethro had noticed how much God had helped Moses. Moses then turns around and names one of his boys Eliezer. You say, why? Because the name Eliezer means God is my help. God had helped Moses so much that Moses said, "I'm going to name my boy God is my help." You say, why? Well, it actually says in verse number 4 that because God had delivered Moses from the sword of Pharaoh, he turns around and said, "God, you've helped me so much. I'm going to name my boy after you. I'm going to call my boy Eliezer," which means God is my help. Let me remind you of the story where Moses escapes the sword of Pharaoh. We've heard it time and time again. I'll be brief, but let me tell you the story. God's people had been in captivity. They were held captive by a slave driver by the name of Pharaoh. The sorcerers of Pharaoh and Moses had a showdown and maybe a competition and a series of challenges between one another. It winds up that finally God's death angel passes through the land in the evening, and all the firstborn of Pharaoh and the Egyptians all passes away. As a result of this terrible thing that happens, when Pharaoh and all of his people wake up and their firstborn child is dead by not obeying God, Pharaoh says, "Okay, I'm going to let the children of Israel go." He calls Moses in. He says, "Moses, you go. And you take all the children of Israel. You get out of the land. I want you to get out of here." So Moses, he calls upon the children of Israel, and they escape the land of Pharaoh. Well, when they get out of sight, and when they get to traveling, Pharaoh's heart becomes hard. Pharaoh becomes bitter. Pharaoh says to his armies, "We're going after them. We'll go capture them. We'll slay them. We'll destroy them. But go get them." And he sends his chariots and his horsemen and men with swords to chase after Moses and the children of Israel. Moses and the children of Israel, they travel, and they come to the point where they're at the bank of the Red Sea. So they're looking at the Red Sea, and they realize there's no way across. Suddenly, they look back, and they see the dust, and they hear the sound of Pharaoh's armies coming, and they just know what's taken place. Pharaoh, again, has changed his mind. He's coming to massacre them. He's coming to slay them. Moses now knows that the swords that would have been harnessed on the sides of the soldiers will be drawn, and those soldiers will come and massacre Moses and his people. The Bible says that Moses could not go back because Pharaoh's army. He could not take his people forward because of the Red Sea. And he had no choice but to call upon God. He said, "God, I can't go back.
God, I can't go forward. God, help me. God, help me. Have you ever been in a situation where there's only one that can really do what you need? There was no way Moses could do it. There was no way a human being could do it. Moses said, God, they're going to massacre the people I love. God, please, God, help me. I don't know that Moses had any idea what would happen. But the heart and the ear of God from heaven said, I hear you, Moses. Don't worry, son. I'm a-coming. The Bible says as Moses prayed that prayer, all of a sudden, the Red Sea began to part. Some of the water went to the right and some of the water went to the left. The Bible actually says that the water parted to the point that the ground on the bottom of the sea was dried up. And there was a virtual wall of water to the right and a wall of water to left where the love of God held back the storm and the raging water. And God said, Moses, get on across there. Yeah. Moses said, I was asking for help. This is all right. I should have asked a long time ago. Bible teaches that Moses led the children of Israel out of danger. They got all the way to the other side. And as the story goes, Pharaoh's army, they came with their sword and they were hooping and hollering and they see the walls of the water and they think, well, we'll just shoot across there and we'll catch them and we'll destroy them. And Pharaoh's army got right out into the middle of the Red Sea. And all of a sudden, God said, that's it. And the water came in on them and they drowned. Thank God. Thank God that God is our helper. And it is because of that story that Moses said, I know what I'm going to name my boy. I'm going to name him Eliezer. Why? Because God is my helper. I want to be reminded every time I see my boy of the day that God spared me and the day that God reached down and miraculously helped me. You know, this is not the only time in the Bible where people found themselves helped by God. You take, for instance, the man named Samuel. Let me read a verse to you. 1 Samuel 7:12, it says, Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. You see, Samuel was a preacher. His congregation was the children of Israel. His people had become somewhat backslidden. Some of them were to the point where they were worshiping the false gods of Balaam and Ashtaroth. Samuel goes to God and he says, God, please help my people. God, bring my people back to you. And a revival broke out. As a revival broke out, the enemy, the Philistines, knew. They thought, oh no, if they have a revival, we won't be able to handle them. We better attack now. And about that time, the Philistines were getting ready to come in and pounce on the children of Israel and try to destroy them. And the armies of God said, oh, Samuel, keep praying for God's help. We're outnumbered. We're not ready for this battle. The Philistines, it's a surprise attack. And the Bible says that the man of God, Samuel, he kept praying for God's help. And as he prayed for God's help, as the Philistines were about to attack and destroy those people, the Bible says that all of a sudden in heaven began to thunder. And it thundered to the point that it shook the earth. And the Philistines said, I don't know what's going on here, but they just had a revival. And here we are about to attack them. And the whole earth is shaking from the thunder from up in the sky. The Bible says that the Philistines got so confused. They said, I don't know about you, but I'm out of here. I'm not about to touch those people. And the Bible says as they began to flee, God's army was able to overtake them and defeat them. I'm sure that day Samuel said, God, help. But he had no idea that his plead for God's help would shake the heavens and the very earth on which Samuel stood would shake and tremble at the beck and call to say, God, Help me. Help me, God. Oh, he's there. He's there. Just ask Samuel. He's there. You just ask Moses. Story in the Bible about David. The Bible says in Psalm 27:9, David says, "Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." Here's the story of Psalm 27. King David's son Absalom had rebelled against him. Absalom had actually become disloyal to his own father. And Absalom had gone around and started to gather people to him and an army where he was going to challenge his father. And Absalom was going to try to take over David's throne as king of Israel. Well, what ends up happening is the army of Absalom and the army of David end up having a clash, and there's a war, and Absalom is put to death. Psalm 27 is David saying, "God, I'm glad I'm still king, but my boy's dead." And it's a bittersweet moment for David, where David was saying, "God, thank you for sparing the kingdom, and thank you for helping righteousness to be uplifted. But God, I've got to go to a funeral of my own boy now." And David said, "Thou hast been my help." Let me tell you something. When your heart's broken, and I don't know if there's much greater hurt than when our family's hurt. I don't know. I don't know that there's a greater heartache than the heartache that comes with those that we love most, our own flesh and blood. But I'm glad that I hear from David, when your heart's broken, and it's a family matter, that David said, "God was there. God helped me through it." I'm glad that when Moses felt outnumbered, that God was there to part the Red Sea. I'm glad that when Samuel prayed to God, said, "God, I've got to have help," God was there. Listen to this. Acts chapter 26, verse 22. It says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great." These are the words of the Apostle Paul. You see, the Apostle Paul had been arrested for preaching the gospel. He had been brought before a king by the name of King Agrippa. Agrippa says, "Paul, I'm going to allow you to speak. Tell us, Paul, what's going on with you." Paul said this. Paul said, "Agrippa, I used to put Christians to death. I did not believe. I was not a believer. I worked for the government. I stood there and I watched a man, a deacon by the name of Stephen, stoned to death. And I held his garment while they beat him to death for believing in Jesus Christ." Paul said that one day, "I was walking down a road. I was heading to a place called Damascus." Said, "As I was walking down the Damascus road, all of a sudden, a bright light on the road shone. It virtually blinded me. I fell to my knees. I knew immediately this was the Lord that I had persecuted. And I said, 'Lord, what do you want of me?' He said, 'That day on the Damascus road, I trusted the Jesus that I had persecuted. I took him as my own Savior.'" He said, "Agrippa, let me tell you something. To that point, my life was empty. To that point, my life was useless. To that point, I had no hope for the time after death." But he said, "Agrippa, that day, God helped me. He saved me. He stood me on my feet. He placed my feet on a solid rock." He said, "I walked away from that meeting on the Damascus Road. I've got a purpose for my life. I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm helped. People," he said, "God helped me that day." If you're here today and you say, "Brother Owens, I don't know what will happen to me after I die," then I do. Because if you don't know, that means you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You need to get saved. I know what's going to happen to me after I die. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. You say, I don't know what will happen to me. Oh, then get saved today. Let me say, if you're here today and you say, my life is a little bit wasted, and my life seems useless, and it's empty, like the Apostle Paul, call upon God, your helper. Oh, I love what the Bible teaches about God being our helper. I got to looking then in the Bible as I clung to the verses that I had found. As I made it to the top of the mountain, I came out of the fog. I came out of the depths of a certain type of a depression where I just felt like the whole world was coming down on me. And I looked at Psalm chapter number 121, where the Lord said, I looked into the hills, from whence cometh my help? And when I got to the top of the mountain and I seen the sunshine of God, it began to make sense to me. I needed to get up out of that valley because I had God as my helper, and He was going to meet my need. To every person in this building today, young and old alike, God is your helper. He's available. Hey, you've got the same God of Moses. You've got the same God as Samuel. You've got the same God as did David have. You have the very same God as the Apostle Paul. You say, I'm down in the valley. Well, start driving toward the top of the mountain. He's there, and there's sunshine at the top of the mountain. The Bible teaches us that God is our helper. God is our helper. The Bible tells us that God is a very present help. Oh, that's good news. A very present help. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, when you need God, His presence is immediate. The Bible says He's a very present help. You know, if you gotta call on somebody else to help you, and I think there are times when we should. I think as Christians we're to help one another. I think as Christians we're to aid one another and strengthen one another and encourage one another. Christians shouldn't be going around discouraging each other. We're not to be mad at one another. We're to love one another. We're to help one another. But I'll just tell you, there are sometimes you can't call on another Christian who can arrive fast enough. You need something more than that. Well, let me tell you, you need a very present help. You say, I need something, and I need it now. God said, I'm here. I'm here. You can call a fireman. He might not make it. You can call on a policeman. It may take him a while. You can call on the ambulance. They may not make it as quick as what you need. You can call on the preacher. He may not be able to get there as fast as what you need. But let me tell you something. When you call on God, time does not hold God back. God's there. God's there. Now I've got to read you this article. This is from the New York Times. It's true. Bosses of a publishing firm are trying to work out why no one noticed that one of their employees had been sitting dead at his desk for 5 days before anyone asked if he was feeling okay. George Turkelbaum, 51, who had been employed as a proofreader at a New York firm for 30 years, had a heart attack in open plain office area he shared with 23 other workers. He quietly passed away on Monday, but nobody noticed until Saturday morning when an office cleaner asked why he was working during the weekend. His boss, Elliot Wachowski, said, George was always the first guy in each morning and the last to leave at noon or at night, so no one found it unusual that he was in the same position all that time and he didn't even say anything. He was always absorbed in his work and kept much to himself. A post-mortem examination revealed that he had been dead for 5 days after suffering a heart attack. Get this, George was proofreading manuscripts of a medical textbook when he died. Say, why didn't they notice? I'll tell you somebody that noticed. God noticed. When men can't respond fast enough or well enough, God can. Why? God is a present help. For the saved, guess what? Our help lives within us. When you get saved, the person of the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives inside you. Our help is available immediately. Immediately. When others can't get to us fast enough, God's already there. God is a very present help. Let me say this to you. Secondly, God will help us in our times of infirmity. Romans 8:26 says this, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. I looked up that word infirmity. I wanted to know what it really meant. Our infirmities means times of physical illness, physical weakness, physical sickness, and disease. God's there. I was thinking of Audrey Gillam, suddenly, taken to the doctor. And the doctor said, you'll have to have bypass surgery. But you know something? God was there to help her. God was there. Say, oh, Brother Owens, I'm afraid to go to the hospital for the surgery. I'm afraid to go. Hey, God's already there. God's already there. You're not going alone. And I know the fear comes, but let me assure you of something. If you're a born-again child of God, you have the great physician, not just going with you, but going in you. He's in you. He's there. Brother Renner had his colon operated on. Surgery. That nasty word, the C word, cancer. But he sets back here again a testimony that God is good and God is able. God is able. You see, listen, I'm thinking right now, one of our good men, our church wouldn't know this, but Joe Lopez, one of the finest men in our church, got a call this week. His sister was found in a hotel room bleeding. They took her into the hospital and she went into a coma. They put her on life support. They called Joe and said, Joe, if you're going to see your sister alive, you better come right now. She's going to pass away. A young lady. Joe got on a plane yesterday morning. They called this morning and said, between 12 and 1, we're taking her off the life support. Guess what? While we sit here, one of our good men will watch his sister pass away today. But thank God. God's there to help Joe. I wish I could go. I wish I could be with him. I can't. But God's there. God's there. God's there. Our helper's there. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm a Christian. I've got a very present help. I've got a God that can help my infirmities. Hey, Mrs. Griffith didn't get to have her surgery this week because of some complications. But let me assure you, God will go with you. Mel Bush, God went with you through the surgery. Mrs. Mary Vess has been struggling off and on with her health. And she and I, as we talked this week, she said, Preacher, she said, they tell me they're going to have to, they may have to cut one of my feet off. She said, what am I going to do? I said, Mary, I don't know what you're going to do, but I can assure you this. If God has to take that foot off, if it comes off, God will go with you. He'll help you with it. She said, oh, I believe that. I think of Brother Jerry Lowther, that suffers constantly with his multiple sclerosis. I think of Brother Stephen Davis, what he's been through. Hey, Stephen, God's your helper. God knows what he's doing. I think of his mom, Debbie Davis. Oh, my, what that lady's been through. An amputation, her health, her heart, all of it, all of it. Hey, listen to me, my friend. I don't know what ails you, but I can tell you something. We have a God, and our God is a very present help, and our God, He can do some pretty miraculous things. And I don't want to scare you. And I don't want to say something to you that gets you off course. But let me assure you something. The worst thing that can happen to a Christian in this life may be that they die. But when you open up your eyes, whatever ails you then, it'll never ail you again. Brother Paul, you're getting your legs back someday. Hey, we have men that have missing arms and missing limbs. And some of you have got five-way bypass surgery. When you get to heaven, there ain't no bypasses on hearts in heaven. You'll get a full body back. Why? God's our helper. God's our helper. He's a very present help. He helps us in times of infirmity. Our God will help us in times of fear of man. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We live in days where evil people are abundant. We live in days where people would actually set out to destroy other people. We live in days where people are out to hurt other people. People who are out for revenge. Not just mean people, hateful, evil people. Thank God, He's your helper in days of hurt. When you've done something wrong and you've got it right and you've tried to fix it and they still are evil towards you, let me assure you of something. Your God's a helper. Your God's a helper. Some of you fear what men may do unto you. Well, let me assure you of something. You have somebody that's watching out for you. You have a helper in the time when fear comes upon you and fear about what someone else might do to you. Our God, a helper. I'm glad my God's a helper. Number 5, God's a helper to the fatherless. Psalm 10, verse 14, it says this, Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Hey, widow, raising your child by yourself, look into the hills from whence cometh your help. You say, I'm lonely. I understand that. But your heavenly Father is there. You children, I'm not talking about young children. I'm talking about teenagers. Look at me and listen. You say, Brother Owens, my dad has forsaken us. My dad didn't come around. Well, let me assure you of something. God will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is your helper. Hey, teenager, that's confused and empty and hurting because you don't have a daddy living at home, I'm sorry for you. I wish that wouldn't have happened to you. But you have a God that loves you. The Bible teaches that God is your helper. Hey, young person, don't struggle against the God that is your helper. You say, but I'm hurt, and I don't understand. I'm sorry, I don't understand exactly either, but I can tell you one thing. If your daddy's forsaken you, your God will step up. Your God loves you. He wants to take care of you. Your God is your friend. Hey, young person, don't run from the God that's your helper because your daddy ran from you. Run to God. Run to God. Children forsaken by fathers, God is your helper. I don't understand. I don't understand a man that will just up and leave. I don't understand a man that will forsake his family. I was counseling one of our members where a man, I don't know if he's a man or not, a male, owed over $60,000 of back support where a mama had to pay it herself. Manhood in America is so anemic today. If you're going to father a child, then support that child. That's your responsibility. Oh my, oh my. And I'll tell you what though, young people, your heavenly Father, He won't hurt you. Hey, you'll never wake up one morning and hear your mama say, I need to talk to you. Your heavenly Father's left. Oh, no. No, you'll never hear that. You may hear it of an earthly father, but you'll never hear it of your heavenly Father. He'll always be there. He'll be there night and day. He'll be there at your ball games. Your heavenly Father's going to watch you cheer, girls. Your heavenly Father's going to be there when you're sick. He'll be there every Christmas and every Easter. He'll be at your wedding. Hey, girls, your heavenly Father will bring you down the aisle, whether your earthly father will be there for you or not. I'm here to tell you today, I thank God. I serve a God that is the helper of the fatherless. Of the fatherless. God is a helper. Hey, God's our helper in time of need. Hebrews 4:16, it says, Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What's your need today? I look at this sea of faces. Well over 1,000 people at this church this morning. I don't know your need, but I'll tell you somebody who does. Your God. Your God knows your need. You ladies that sit in this balcony, some of you have need deep down inside you that nobody knows about. God does. Broken hearts on this lower floor. You have need. I don't know what that need is. God knows your need. God is your help in time of need. What need do you have that others can't, you can't share with others? You say, Brother Owens, if I share the need, it's so embarrassing. You can share it with God. No need to be embarrassed with your Heavenly Father. What burden do you bear alone? Hey, no human can help. You say, I don't know what a human being could do. Well, I've got good news for you. Our God's not human. He's God. He is God. He's a God that parted the Red Sea. He's a God that made the sun stand still. Your God is your helper. What's your need today? What need do you have that others don't understand? You ever say this to yourself? I just don't think people quite understand me. And we don't. We don't understand each other. But I know something. When I'm alone with my God, I never say, Lord, I just don't think you understand me. No, God said, I understand everything, son. Oh my. Oh my. What need is so big that only God can supply it? Hey, not only that, God is a helper in our time of trouble. The Bible says in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That is virtually a troubling of the spirit. Are you in trouble emotionally today? Hey, God offers attitude help. Your spirit. You say, Brother Owens, I feel in my spirit, in my attitude, I feel down. I'm struggling with some depression. Are your emotions hard to handle right now? Is it that your heart is heavy? Are you troubled? What is it? Is it a bitterness that's crept in that's gotten your spirit down? Are you grieving the loss of a loved one? Is it depression and despair? Is it a fear? Is it a hopelessness where you just feel like, well, what is left in life? Let me tell you something, my friend. The Bible says here, God is a help in times of trouble. And he's not just talking about times of trouble like a flat tire. He's talking about when you have a flat spirit. He's talking about when the depression and the hopelessness and the fears and the grieving and even to the point of despair and depression. I wanted to tell you something. Nobody else may go in that dark hole with you. Nobody else may understand what you're going through. Nobody else may understand how distant you feel from the light. But you can't go anywhere that my God's not already there. He's there. He can help you out. He can help you out because my God is a help. In time of trouble, God is a helper even when we've caused our own hurt. God is our helper even when we cause our own hurt. Hosea 13:9, the Bible says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. You know, I'll be honest with you. When someone else has caused our hurt, that's hard. But when you cause your own, I think it's harder. Because when you cause your own, this is what happens to us. When you cause your own trouble, you kind of feel like, well, Lord, I caused it. I guess I don't really deserve any help. And God comes to you and he says, you caused it, but I still love you. And I'm your help. Even when you caused it. He said, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. But in me is thine help. Has your decision hurt you? God is your help. Has your sin destroyed part of your life? God is still your help. Has your foolishness cost you something that you loved? God is still your help. Have you hurt you deeply? God said, I'm your help. Have you become your own worst enemy? Do you look back now and say, I knew I shouldn't have, and I did, and look at the mess I'm in. Oh, a mess that I have in my life. And you say, I don't think anybody cares. Oh, my friend, take those words back. God cares. You say, I caused it. Okay, but your God loves people that cause their own hurt. He said, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I'm so glad that God comes to me when I don't even feel like I deserve the help. And he says, Jeff, I know you sinned again, but I knew you as a sinner when I saved you. Because the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My God, my God, my God's a help. He's a present help. He helps in times of infirmity. He helps in the times when I fear what man could do unto me. He's a helper to the fatherless. He helps us in our time of need. He helps us in our time of emotional trouble. He helps us when we have hurt ourselves. Hey, God is a helper to those who no one else will help. Listen. Psalm 72:12, the Bible says, "For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper." Boy, I'm so glad that God helps people, that the human race is too arrogant to help. Boy, God cares for the one that's in the county jail today. Yeah. Yeah. You say, they're disgusting. God cares about the disgusting. Yeah. You say, but the ones I'm not sure if anybody really cares for me. Now, first of all, let me tell you something about our church. You're listening to a preacher that'll care for you. And you're in a congregation that'll care for you. Which, say, I'm not convinced, and please be convinced of this. If you don't think anybody cares, Jesus cares. He said, and him that hath no helper. God said, when you feel like everybody is forsaken, when you feel like everybody said, I quit, I'm not helping you anymore. I want to get as far away from you as I can. God said, now I hate your sin, but my child, I love you, and I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you. To the one that faces the electric chair, but who has trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, God will go to the chair with you. When nobody else will help. You know, that's real good for me and you to know it. If everybody forsakes us, God said, I won't forsake you. If you feel like no one will give, no one will help, God will. When you seem to be repulsive to man, God still loves you. And hey, Pharisee. Hey, Pharisee. You're too good for somebody. If it were not for the grace and the mercy of God, you too would be repulsive to mankind. And just so you know, you are repulsive in your sin. Right. You see, no sin enters heaven. If it were not for the mercy of Almighty God, you couldn't even get in. Why? You're repulsive in your sin. We get to thinking we're good and we're big shots. I can't believe these people that think they can save themselves and they can be good enough to get to heaven by their works. That's ridiculous. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. It is by His mercy and His grace He has made heaven available to us. And when you say, I'm just repulsed by this person or repulsed by that person, you better thank God He wasn't repulsed by you. He sent His Son. He died for you. You repulsed the filthy, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing human sinner. We get to the point where we become arrogant and proud as if we are the example of holiness. It's time for us to get knocked off our holy high horses and realize we serve a holy God, but we're not holy. God is a helper to those that nobody else cares about. You see, Brother Owens, every once in a while we'll see some folks come in here to the church and they look like somebody drug them in out of the ditch. You're right. And they're welcome here. And they're welcome here. I'm not going to cast out the ones that Jesus brought in. We're not going to do it. You say, but it's a big shot church. Oh, we want to impress the community. I don't want to impress the community. I want to impress Jesus. I want Jesus to be pleased with my church. Hey, thank God. Thank God that God can help the mighty. The Bible says in Psalm 89:19, it says, then thou speakest in vision to the Holy One, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. You know something? For some of you, let me help you. Some of you that are leaders, some of you that are spiritually strong, sometimes you just don't know where to turn. I think some of you know what I mean. You're a leader, and you have burdens. and you have your own heartaches. But leaders don't take their burdens to the followers. Let me tell you something. You daddies, it's hard, doesn't it? You work hard. You pay the bills. And you know you're human. You know you're frail and you're weak. Hey, dads, when you just don't feel. See, we can't. If you're laying all your load on your wife, you're not helping yourself. She needs you to be strong. And your kids need you to be strong. So what am I going to do, Brother Owens? Won't you go out to the mountain? Come up the Back Creek Valley and drive to the top of the mountain. Look into the hills. Some of you daddies need to walk with God to the point that you realize He is your helper. I know, Mama. I know you struggle. And I admire some of you ladies. You get up in the morning, take the kids to school, you're off to work all day long, you come home at night, you do the laundry, you do the cooking. You're tired. You can't tell the kids because you're the leader. You say, Brother Owens, it's just heavy. Hang in there. You're God's your helper, leader. The Bible says that God is the helper of the mighty. What's he talking about? When you're alone, and you just feel like there's nobody there that can help you. Hey, business owner, there's some financial tough times upon us right now. You can't go to the men that work for you. You can't go to the ladies that work for you and gripe and complain and spill your guts. Where do you go for comfort? There's not another business owner in the town that really cares whether your business makes it or not. You got all that the weight of the business upon you. He said, Brother Owens, there's just sometimes I get down. Okay. God said he's the helper of the mighty. Get to God, business owner. Get to God, church leader. Get to God. To those preacher friends of mine across the country. And you're up against it. You can't go to the deacons and whine. You can't go to your people and whine. You can't go to your wife. You say, Brother Owens, I feel so lonely. Let me tell you what I do. I go to the mountaintop. I just drive out of the valley and I look into the hills from whence cometh my help. Did you know that preachers have burdens too? They have heartaches too. They have valleys. But to who does the preacher go? Who's going to help him? Who's going to lift him up? Who's going to tell him he can make it? Who's going to tell him he can take it? Well, I'm not mighty, but I have a responsibility to lead. I just look into the hills from whence cometh my help. And I realize I've got a God that's my helper. And I'll tell you what. That beats all the help of the entire human race. Are you saved? If you're not saved today, I want to tell you about something. There's only one that can help you to get saved. That's my God. You can't even save yourself. You're going to have to look into the hills from whence cometh salvation help. That cometh from the Lord. The Bible teaches that everyone is a sinner. The Bible teaches that there is a penalty for your sin. That penalty is death and hell, separated from God for all eternity. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ, through His death, His burial, and His resurrection, made heaven available to you. And the Bible teaches that you, as a sinner, need to realize you can't save yourself, and Jesus is the Savior. You need to turn to Him and say, Lord, forgive me my sin. Come into my heart and be my Savior. I'll trust you as Savior to take me to heaven at that very moment, if you'll meet it in your heart. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, if you're not saved, you need to get saved, and there's only one that can save you. You can't save yourself. That baptistry can't save you. As a man of God, I can't save you. You say, well, my family, we've got a heritage of being in church. It doesn't matter. You've got to get to Jesus for yourself. And if you're not saved, you need to look to the hills from whence cometh salvation, hell. If you're backslidden today, won't you come back to God? But you know, we all just need a reminder every once in a while that when we don't have access to man, we always have access to God.